Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good evening. Dr. Gerald Pfeiffer here with Medical Frontiers, and we're going to be talking about breast cancer tonight. It's always a subject that is very, very near and dear to many folks in the area because I don't think there's anybody who has not been touched by breast cancer, either with themselves or somebody in the family, a friend. It's still about one case in every eight women during their lifetime will develop breast cancer. We're very fortunate this evening to have a new member of the guest list for Medical Frontiers, Dr. Emil Fernando. Dr. Fernando is a surgical oncologist. He's going to tell us what that really means, and he's a breast cancer surgical specialist. And welcome to Medical Frontiers, Dr. Fernando.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on here tonight.
You bet. And we were talking, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and what does that really mean? And tell us a little bit about how important it is to diagnose a woman with breast cancer early and how much easier it is as far as treatment is concerned and so on. Just take us through that.
Absolutely. That's a very important point. I think breast cancer awareness, sometimes it gets a little lost in the shuffle. Of course, everybody knows what breast cancer is. And this month is really all about, you know, driving home the point that we need to keep up with your screening tests, you know, for women. And for people who are being treated or have had treatment, to continue surveillance for them long term to make sure we're not letting them kind of fade away or fall through the cracks type of thing. So really the awareness is raised to continue kind of normal breast health, like screening, you know, seeing your doctor regularly to make sure that, you know, you're not falling into the background there. And the importance of it is really that if a cancer is caught early, or, you know, the earliest stage is a precancerous stage, you can catch it before it can be life-threatening. And then you are looking at a much shorter length of treatment, usually a smaller surgery, and usually can avoid things like chemotherapy. When cancers are caught when they're larger or later in stage, that's what leads to kind of more intense treatment, where you get into things like chemotherapy or bigger operations like mastectomies and things like that.
Yeah, that is very, very, very important. When you were talking there, I recalled a friend of ours, and this is years ago, probably 30 years ago, but she found a lump in her breast, and she had five children, and she was very, very busy, you know, raising her kids and so on. She said, well, I'll have to get this checked out. And then she put it off a little longer. And then there was a graduation, and she, well, I don't want to spoil a graduation. I'll get it checked later. Put it off for two or three years. By the time she was examined, she was stage four.
And of course,
you know, she had surgery, she had chemotherapy, and she lived probably for another year and a half or 2 years. A terrible two or three years. And it was an example that all to me that if she would have seen somebody when she first had noticed that lump. She'd probably still be alive today.
Yeah, that's always a terrible story that, you know, we try as hard as we can to avoid. And, you know, this is obviously in the current climate, it's easy to put this off or to wait. And that's just one example of why it's so important to just make the appointment for your mammogram and your annual, you know, breast care to avoid something like that.
Well, you've been in practice at AHN now a little over a year, and they built a new cancer institute so that you can have the top-notch facility there to see women. And I guess you also practice at the Wellness Center in Wexford, correct?
That's correct, yeah. And just as a health network, I mean, there are numerous places for a patient to go between, you know, the 7 or 8, you know, hospitals and satellites we have for differing treatments, from surgery to chemotherapy to just, you know, meeting medical oncologists in the office. So we really strive to have a lot of options for the patients so they're not always having to travel a long distance or something like that for treatment. Sure. But, yes, I personally go to the Allegheny General and the Wexford campus.
Okay. Let's take a woman who's 50 years old. She has had yearly mammograms for 10 years. She turned 50. She had her annual mammogram, and they found a suspicious lesion in her left breast. Take us through that. How is that looked at and taken care of from the start to finish as far as the team approach in taking care of a woman with breast cancer?
Of course, yeah. So typically in these cases with the screening mammograms, they're ordered by either the primary doctor, family medicine, internal medicine, or the gynecologist that the patient sees. And so when you have the screening mammogram and it raises suspicion, so usually that's either things like calcium spots. There are normal calcium spots, but there are also abnormal calcium spots, so the radiology doctors know how to tell the difference. Or sometimes they find a small mass or an area where the tissue just looks different. They call that distortion or asymmetry. And that leads to another set of images, what's called the diagnostic mammogram. It's kind of more views and a better quality look at the breast. And they often will add an ultrasound if there's a mass there to better visualize that. So once that's done, if those imaging tests confirm that there's something suspicious there, the next step typically is a biopsy before they get sent to a surgeon or something like that. And usually the two most common types of biopsies, which is a needle going into the breast to remove a sample of tissue, that's what that means. It's usually either a ultrasound-guided biopsy, so the radiology doctor puts the ultrasound to see it and then puts the needle in the mass and takes out some tissue, leaves a little clip behind, or they have to use a mammogram-guided biopsy. So they put you in a mammogram machine while your breast is compressed and then use it that way to get a tissue sample. And then that tissue goes to the pathologist who looks under the microscope to see what's going on there. And the majority of the time, these biopsies come back benign, so normal breast tissue. But, of course, they can also come back showing a cancer or a precancer. And that's when they would get referred to a surgeon like myself.
I see. And then the team then approaches the individual female patient as what is best treatment with all that information for that particular patient, right?
That's correct. So every breast cancer in every patient is different, and there are, you know, 4 or 5 different things that can be different from patient A's breast cancer to patient B's breast cancer. And those little differences, you know, is it a precancer or is it invasive cancer? Does it have hormone responsiveness or not? The size, those all together can decide which way the treatment will go. Will we start with surgery or do we actually need to start with something like chemotherapy? If we we do start with surgery, are we looking at a lumpectomy or a mastectomy, which is removal of the breast? So all those differences we discussed at the clinic visit, and no patient's the same as the other. So it's all very individualized, which certainly I think is better for people than doing the same thing for everybody.
Absolutely. Okay, Dr. Fernando, we need to take our first break. This is Medical Frontiers, sure. And we're talking about breast cancer this evening. So give us a call at 866-391-1020. Call us if you have had breast cancer and you've been treated. Tell us about your experience. We'd love to hear your story. 866-391-1020. Medical Frontiers. We'll be right back. Well, we're back on Medical Frontiers talking about breast cancer tonight with Dr. Emil Fernando. And I see we have a caller, Jim from Sewickley. Jim, do you have a question?
Yes. My question is this. Is there anything been proven that a woman that breastfeeds her kids has less breast cancer?
Excellent question.
Hey there.
Dr. Fernando, how about that? Any relationship between breastfeeding, non-breastfeeding, as far as cancer is concerned?
Yes, that's a great question. There actually is. The data shows that a history of breastfeeding is protective to some degree against developing breast cancer. Now, that doesn't mean it won't happen, but it does lower your risk to have been able to breastfeed children. That is been shown, yes.
Okay, Jim, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay, thanks so much for the call and good luck. So breastfeeding is good for lots of reasons, better for the baby and better for the mother, right?
Yeah, and obviously, there are definitely women who just are unable to do that physiologically.
Right.
And that's right. Not to say it's a bad thing or anything, but yeah, there are certainly benefits to be able to do that for those reasons you mentioned.
Okay, we have another caller. Good evening, Dawn from Connecticut.
Yes, Dr. Ferrando, I'd like to know, did you ever hear of Dr. Lederman?
The name off the top of my head is not ringing a bell. Is that person around the Pittsburgh area or
New York City? I had a friend that had the stage 4 cancer, breast cancer, and the last resort, the operator and everything wanted to take the whole breast off. She went to him. He cured her. It's in recession now for the last 6 years.
Wow, well, that's great that they were able to do that, really.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know that doctor, though, but I'll have to yeah. Google one.
So, well, that's a good story, Don, and we would like women to get to medical care before they're stage 4, for sure. And that's why we're talking about breast cancer awareness, women, once they reach age of 40, should have an annual mammogram. So, Dawn, thanks so much for the call from Connecticut, and continued good luck with your friend. Okay, this is Medical Frontiers. Give us a call at 866-391-1020. What about the idea of doing prophylactic or preventive mastectomies in women who are at very, very high risk because of a strong family history of certain types of breast cancer? Do you have some cases like that, Dr. Fernando?
Yes. I do see patients, what we classify as high risk for breast cancer or breast cancer genetic syndromes. So let me touch on that. Overall, a genetic syndrome that you can be, seen in families is about 10% or so of breast cancer. The majority of patients actually don't have a strong family history, which is why screening is so important. Certainly, if you have, and this is where the patient should, as well as they can, know their family history in both mom and dad's side. But if they've noticed that a lot of family members have been having breast cancer or ovarian cancer or really any cancers, and there's a lot of them going on, that should raise a little bit of an alarm to see their doctor and bring up the concept of something called genetic testing. And we've identified several genes that can raise your risk for breast cancer and other types of cancer that we can now test for. And the cost of these tests have really dropped, and the majority of time insurance companies do cover them. And if a mutation is identified that puts you at risk, then you're referred to the appropriate doctor. So in my case, for breast cancer risk, you know, we do improve screening. We add things like breast MRIs to their annual mammogram, so that way they're getting more imaging every year to catch cancers early. And a lot of these women, not all of them, but a lot of them do choose to have prophylactic or preventative mastectomies. It doesn't bring the risk to zero, but it gets it pretty darn close, you know, about 2 to 5% lifetime, which, you know, if they start at like a 60 to 80% lifetime risk, that's clearly a huge difference. The interesting thing is no data so far shows that it actually can make you live longer because we're so good at treating breast cancer. But certainly we can hopefully spare the patient having to ever go through, you know, treatment for breast cancer.
Okay. But yeah, very good question. Okay, we need to take another break. This is Medical Frontiers. And give us a call during the break, 866-391-1020. Breast Cancer Awareness. We'll be back. We're back on Medical Frontiers for the last half of the show on this Monday evening. We're very fortunate to have Dr. Emo Fernando with us. He is a breast surgical oncologist. And we have a couple folks on the phone line. So let's go to Jeannie in Pittsburgh. Good evening, Jeannie. You have a question.
Yes, good evening, doctors. Could you please tell me, is there an age when it is no longer required for a woman to have a yearly mammogram?
Great, hey, Jeannie, question. What do you think about that, Dr. Fernando?
That is an excellent question, and one there's a lot of misconception around, because there's been some people coming in that, you know, thought it was you just stop at 75 and then that's it. But we have so many people living quite long, I mean, well into their 90s, you know, God forbid now. And there's not a hard point on when to stop for a lot of the major societies. There's not. And so what we tell patients is basically to continue doing the mammogram until we think their life expectancy is less than 10 years. So say they have bad heart, you know, some bad heart disease or something like that, that would make their life expectancy shorter. Or if they at that point don't want to screen because they wouldn't want to have any treatment. So there's some people where, you know, you ask them, if we were to find anything, do you want anything done? And if the answer is no, which is a very personal question, then it wouldn't make sense to do the test because they wouldn't want to do anything about it. So outside of those cases, I do advocate for continued screening, you know, after 75, just because people are living so long these days. I have patients well into their 80s, late 80s, that we unfortunately are finding breast cancer in, but who still will have probably another 10 years to live, and so we treat them.
Okay, Jeannie, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
You bet, and good luck to you, and get those yearly mammograms. Let's go to Helen in Forest Hills. Good evening, Helen. How are you?
Okay. A friend of mine had a mammogram about 15 years ago, and it showed that she had calcification. So they recommended a stereotactic breast biopsy, which they did two on the one breast, and they left a clip or a marker in there. Do they still do that? It was benign, you know, there was nothing serious.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that, Dr. Fernando.
Yeah, that is exactly what they still do today, actually. Every time the radiologist does a biopsy, because we don't know it's cancer until they've done the biopsy, they leave a little tiny, tiny clip in there just to mark the area on future imaging films. So that's still done today. There's a lot of women out there that had benign biopsies and have a little clip there. That's totally harmless. They'll never feel it. It'll never set off any metal detectors. But yes, that's still done exactly that way, actually.
Okay. I think, well, there's been friends of mine who've found lumps and waited for 2 years to go to the doctor. I'm not talking about one friend. I'm talking about three. They thought they had cancer, and it turned out they were cysts. This one friend of mine had a giant cyst. She was 28, and it was like the size of a lemon, and she figured she was going to die anyway, so what's the use of going? And all the doctor did was aspirate that cyst with a syringe. So she went around for 2 years worrying about that. So I'm saying there's people that might think they have cancer, and they don't. It's just a large cyst. And over the years, she had about eight cysts aspirated. So if a lady is out there and they have a giant lump, it doesn't mean they have cancer. So I hope somebody hears me and, you know, takes me up and on going to a doctor and having it checked out.
Well, that's good advice,
right,
Dr. Fernando?
Yeah, I was going to say, absolutely. That's the bottom line. I mean, you know, we don't know what anything is till we do some more steps in the workup. But if there's any concern, meaning, you know, the things you want to look out for on the breast are any lumps, which could be normal things, like you said, a cyst, but, you know, you want to make sure. So any new lumps on the breast, any new nipple discharge, or any changes on the skin of the breast, like redness or the skin's dimpled, things like that, that's what you should really quite soon go see your doctor about, not a year or so, but like that month, you know, that's what we really are trying to get here with the awareness.
Yeah, if women would only go as soon as they find something and not put it off, not wait. That's what I'm trying to get across.
Well, you did a good job, Helen, getting that across, and hopefully our listeners will listen to your advice.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for the call. Give us a call at 866-391-1020 if you have a question about breast cancer diagnosis and care. Dr. Fernando, how about reconstruction surgery? If a woman has to have a mastectomy, can they have a breast implant?
Yeah, so reconstruction is a expanding field, and there's a lot that we do with our plastic surgeons. I work with them all the time. And so if the woman is having a mastectomy, either because it's a large size of cancer or because that's the operation she wants to have for various reasons, reconstruction is most often done at the same time of the surgery I do to remove the cancer. And the most common type is with implants, of which you can put in a temporary implant and then switch it to a permanent one later, or you can put the permanent one in right away. Or they can even do bigger surgeries where they take tissue from other areas of your body, most commonly your tummy. They kind of take a lot of your tummy tissue and use that to rebuild the breast. And you get kind of a tummy tuck out of that surgery. So there are a lot of options. And even for a lumpectomy, I actually work with my plastic surgeon sometimes if the woman has a larger breast size and they've always wanted a breast reduction. I've operated with plastic surgeons who do the reduction at the same time I do a lumpectomy. So there are a lot of ways to get a plastic surgeon involved, and I think that only makes the outcome better when the surgeon, you know, talks to the patient about all those possibilities.
Okay, 866-391-1020 is how you can talk to Dr. Fernando. During the break, Dr. Fernando, you and I were talking about breast cancer in men. Tell us a little bit about that. Men can get breast cancer, correct?
Yes, that is correct. It is, I would say, more on the rare side. the latest American Cancer Society estimates is just over 2,000 men will likely develop breast cancer this year in 2020, about 2,600 men. That's compared to about 270,000 women who unfortunately will get diagnosed with invasive breast cancer. But it still does happen. And, we don't screen men. It's just, what's often found is there is a lump usually pretty close to the nipple in a man. And a lot of the times this will be associated with a genetic syndrome or genetic mutation in men. So that's something we always test our male patients for, absolutely. But the good news is the survival, when you compare male breast cancer to female breast cancer, is the same stage for stage. So as long as we catch it relatively early, it should still be very, very treatable.
Okay, so if men find a lump in their breast, they should be checked out also. They can have a mammogram, right?
That's right. That's right. Men can have a mammogram, and that's usually the first step. Same thing, mammogram and an ultrasound, leading to a biopsy.
Okay, well, this is Medical Frontiers. We're going to take our last break before we say goodnight later in the hour. So give us a call at 866-391-1020. And remember, you can always get an appointment with an AHN physician by calling 412-DOCTORS or going to AHN.org. But tonight, it is breast cancer diagnosis and care. We'll be right back. Medical Frontiers talking about breast cancer and care. Diagnosis and care this evening with Dr. Emil Fernando. And we have Carol in Hampton who is in the phone queue. Carol, good evening. How are you? Are you there, Carol?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Okay. You have a question, okay. Carol?
Yes. Is there a blood test to determine if one has breast cancer like prostate or pancreatic cancer?
That's an excellent question. And boy, we would like to have a blood test, a simple test like that, to be able to diagnose cancer anywhere. But what is the status of that, Dr. Fernando, at this point? Any blood tests that can tell whether or not somebody has breast cancer?
Hi there. So unfortunately, we're not quite there yet. Researchers are still working on that. They're calling like a liquid biopsy, and there are things we can test for in patients who've had breast cancer to try to see if it's coming back, but we don't yet have a reliable, true blood test like with prostate or colon, pancreas, where we can do that. So unfortunately, not quite yet. But the hope is in the next, hopefully 10 to 20 years, we will be able to develop one.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Carol, thanks so much, and good luck to you. You're involved with some research. Dr. Fernando, could you just tell us a little bit about how important research is so we can find, better ways to diagnose, better ways to treat patients? And thank God we have patients who are willing to enter into clinical research and so on so that other people can be helped.
Yes. I mean, research is absolutely vital to every cancer, but especially breast cancer. And we're so, we as doctors, but especially the patients we treat, are so grateful to the patients who've participated in the research to get the treatment so good to what we have today. I mean, you remember back in the day, everybody with breast cancer always got a mastectomy with removal of their lymph nodes and sometimes even their muscle. And now we very rarely do that. Most of the time we don't need to take out all the lymph nodes. Everyone got chemotherapy. Now, at least half of people don't need chemotherapy. And all those treatment changes were made based on these large national research studies. And I do participate in trying to enroll patients in those myself.
Well, that's great. What about the aftercare? We always talk about making a diagnosis, the treatment, and so on, but how important is the aftercare, paying attention to how somebody heals, rehabilitation if necessary, that type of thing, and also the emotional side of breast cancer.
Yes, and that's a tremendously important part, because unfortunately, this is, after the treatment, you're now a breast cancer survivor. So after things like surgery and radiation and chemotherapy, if you needed it, we follow you every year for close to the rest of your life, because unfortunately, there are patients where it will come back, and we want to make sure that if that happens to you, we catch it very early again. But also, you might need things like physical therapy. If you develop something called lymphedema or arm swelling, that can happen after lymph node surgery. Your medical oncologist also will follow you every single year with your mammograms and things like that. And the emotional support is particularly important because this does take such a toll on somebody. And we have at Allegheny Health support groups that a patient can actually participate in, along with a rich environment of social workers and nurse navigators that really try to help with the emotional aspect and also sometimes the financial aspect of being a cancer survivor.
And there are also support groups made up primarily of cancer survivors who can counsel and talk and give support to women who are going through their diagnosis and treatment.
That's right. That's right. And we try to do, annual things. This was unfortunately before the pandemic, but we were having, an annual gala for survivors at AHN, that we would do and have kind of events and things like that to kind of show our support as well to our patients.
And we don't want anybody to neglect themselves because of COVID-19. If you need your annual mammogram, you need to do it. It can be done safely.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. We're trying with Allegheny Health Network, we're trying to really push, on all of our sites have mammogram ability to do that. And we really want you to get that scheduled and not put that off.
Okay, well, that is all the time we have for calls of Medical Frontiers. And I want to thank you personally, Dr. Fernando, for being our guest tonight. Good luck with your practice. I know you've only been in practice about a year, but I'm sure that the women that you take care of are very appreciative of your care. That comes through with your personality on the telephone and radio. So keep up the good work. And hopefully we can meet face-to-face one of these days. This is Medical Frontier saying good night, good health. We'll be back in 1 week.